Smiling Faces, the podcast, is a proud member of the Defiantly Me Productions. To learn more about Defiantly Me Productions, visit Instagram at Defiantly Me Productions.
Panties are the cheeks' kryptonite, especially in a sundress. I do wear a penis topper to give you added girth and length. How is your passion for intimacy? I don't need Viagra yet. I'll knock the Mario coins out of your box, girl. LOL. That's what's out there.
What the f*** is that?
I feel assaulted.
I'll knock the Mario coins out of you. What? Why do you have to dirty Mario like that?
Welcome back to episode 18 of Smiling Faces, the podcast. I'm Victoria Dunn.
And I'm Jess Anguiano, and we are the executive producers of Smiling Faces, our hit TV show about two girls who discover they're dating the same guy while working at a toxically positive spin studio.
On this podcast, we provide you with unfiltered conversations about dating, heartbreak, revenge, and living your best life.
I'm here for the first three. Dating, heartbreak, revenge.
Oh, best life, asterisk. Best life? Oh, no.
It's so much work.
It is hard. It's hard work to thrive. It is. It's a choice that one must make every day.
It's hard work to thrive. You know what? I was listening to another podcast today. I know, the scandal, the shock. And wow.
Traitor.
On this podcast, no, I also, am I allowed to
or
say
in the
that
words of my favorite, one of my favorite sitcoms, Frasier, Saboteur.
Saboteur.
I love Frasier. Well, also RuPaul says that.
Who said it first?
I think Frasier for sure. Although RuPaul's probably the same age as Kelsey Grammer.
It's fair. Yeah.
I mean, fair. RuPaul was a basketball star.
RuPaul's lore is crazy.
Yeah. Lest we never forget, speaking of lore, before we get too far down the rabbit hole of lore, I think we should do an update on the Smiling Faces pilot television show that we are in the process of building. I think that's the best term for it, is building, because we're building community, we're building financials, we're building a team. It's literally like, we're just builders. We are basically contractors. We should be paid as such.
We really should. I would love that coin. It's, let's see, we've been doing some applying for additional grants. We found our list of corporate sponsors that love the arts, or at least they claim to. So we're going to see if they put up or shut up. You claim you support the arts. Let's see if you actually do, Bank of America.
Pearl Victoria's back.
Listen, so, we took a brief respite from being feral for a few weeks after the fires broke out in January, and now we are back. It's March. Let's go.
Right, like a phoenix rising from the ashes, a la Stefano D'Amara in Days of Our Lives. We are back. We're fighting. We're doing weird things for money and the plot, and this is what's happening for the show.
Wait a minute. Weird things for money. Who's doing that?
Are you not on Feet Finder, Mike?
Nah.
We're a team.
Dog. Nah, dog. Nobody wants to see my feet.
And you call yourself a producer.
I hate feet, by the way.
Just because you hate feet doesn't mean that somebody out there isn't dying to see yours.
We need all revenue streams, Mike. Put your toes on the web.
Let's go. Time to get
Are
to
your
work.
Toes webbed?
I don't. Are your what? These are way too personal.
Look, I don't know if you know this. Victoria and I, we have decided, and thus we have decided for you, that we're going full-blown authentic, all right? We no holds barred. You're getting every bit of raw, unadulterated, feral us.
That's scary.
Yes. I know, because if you thought that before was open, baby.
Victoria's got crazy eyes, man. Like when she gets there, she's see, look, right there. Right there. Look at the crazy eyes. Y'all can't look. See it, but she's got crazy eyes.
Yeah, very good about that.
You know who else has crazy eyes? Every successful person out there. You have to have a little crazy around the eyes in order to have success.
I do think that is part of it. So I'm ready to be as crazy as possible as necessary to be successful, because the amount of people that I've seen who are like crazy on top of things, usually bad shit. So if I have to be bad shit to succeed, so help me God, I will. These are the sacrifices.
So you
can
sell this pilot, huh?
Yes.
But it's so much more.
I will be batshit crazy to give you this comedy gold. Look at the eyes. You see my... Look.
Oh, wait. The girl that sold the show? You mean the one that's always on the corner of Pico and La Cienega throwing her shoes at passersby? Oh, that makes sense.
I know her. We're friends.
Side note, little plug here for Victoria's sideshow on La Cienega and Pico, tossing her shoes. If anybody's interested, around 4 p.m. on a Tuesday afternoon, you can find the Victoria Dunn tossing her shoes at passerbys.
May even say a swear. You never know.
Not a swear.
Just the one. Just the one.
My Lord.
Full you gotta pay extra for the extra swears.
You do. And that's where you really start to get the money revenue streams coming in for the show. That's where you really start to see it.
Yeah.
Listen, that's, again, bringing it full circle, why we asked if your feet are webbed, because you have to pay extra for the extras. All right?
Thank you. Thank you. People, thank you, Jess.
People want to know. The people want to know. Webbed feet? Actually, don't tell us. We'll just send them the bit.ly to your site. To your foot site.
You want to be on the team, Mike. This is how we make money as producers. We're going alt routes.
I'm going to have to wear socks around, y'all. I see how this is going to go.
Yeah, but like, you already did.
There's two of us and one of you. One of us can hold you down. The other will take your socks off. This is easy. Correct. This is light
work, Mike.
Don't
you need consent, ma'am? Wait a second. Oh. Don't you need consent? What?
What are you using my logic against me?
Go get Lucy. She'll give us consent. No.
She knows
consent
better.
Is not funny. No, consent is not funny. Consent is sexy, and you're absolutely right. So we'll just keep working on it until we
I thought you were going to tell me consent stops at the ankles. I was going to be real mad about it.
That's a sentence.
That's a statement.
Consent stops at the ankles. I kind of love that.
I have to tell you, and it's a weird anti-segue. However, when it comes to consent stopping at the ankles, and I think about ankles, I just think of people being cut off at the ankles, because that's a terrible thing to do to somebody, which gets me thinking about my favorite topic, revenge, which is something that is coming up in social media so much right now, are these micro moments of revenge, these petty moments of revenge. I don't know if you've seen this. I want in. I want in on the circle of folks that are getting micro moments of revenge.
Oh, what have you seen out there in the streets?
Oh my gosh. It turns out that I have failed you in our friendship. I failed both of you. I've not been sending you the filthy, filthy TikToks that I have been seeing. Some girl was making a list of all the terrible things you could do. One girl said, take some cat hair that looks similar. Specifically, this was in response to being cheated on. You take some cat hair that looks similar to the hair on the head of the person that you had been cheated on, you know, that had cheated on you, your spouse, partner, whatnot. And you take a little bit of cat hair every night and you sprinkle it on their pillow so that when they wake up in the morning, they think they're losing some of their hair.
Oh.
And they start to get really worked up about it. They make doctor's appointments. They apply for some hymns or whatnot, some hair regrowth. Just a little bit. Just a little. So just enough to be like, is that for me? And if you're still with that partner, so that you can enact those forms of revenge, which I would absolutely stay with somebody who wronged me so deeply that I wanted to give those micro moments of revenge for, you can also feed it a little and say, oh, wow, is this like a lot of hair? What's happening here?
Oh, my gosh. Not the earworm. just like, let me just plant this little seed.
Oh, another gal said in the hair realm of micro moments of revenge, she said that she went on a first date with a guy who wouldn't stop talking. He was just very like into himself, not really talking to her about anything, just at her. And so she just stared at his hairline intensely, just stared at it like a little like curious. And then when he was like, what do I have something like, and she was like, what? Oh,
yo,
no, sorry.
That's diabolical. Cause I do think that there is something that happens. I mean, mostly with guys, women obviously can experience hair loss too, but men really get the brakes beat off them about their hairlines constantly. I think the same way that women talk about like their edges and stuff, or at least like Black women talk about their edges. Mm-hmm. And like, if you start looking at a hairline and just look a touch too long, wow. See, I don't have any stories of small things like that. The only one that I've seen is people saying, squeeze a little bit of Nair in their shampoo. So, but not like enough, just a little bit. So it starts just falling out. I've heard that one.
Filthy.
And I don't have another hair one, but my mom did say when she was in college, she was very into a guy and they were dating. And then her friend or roommate, I forget who it was, then went out with him, even though she had already been talking to this guy. And she was so upset that they both did this, that this is also in like the 60s, I would say. She took ground beef and put it in his hubcaps of his car. So his car reeked and he couldn't figure out why.
So bad.
I was like, Peggy, you genius.
This is your mother.
This is my mother. So this is the stock I come from, which is why I am built the way I am.
I applaud Peggy. Full claps. Yes. Full claps.
A pillar.
Great work, Peggy.
A pillar of the community.
Love it.
Can we get Peggy on the podcast?
Oh no. Actually, you don't want that. She's, you know, those people, those friends that you have that you can't have on speakerphone ever?
Yes.
Yes.
That is Peggy.
I think
Dunn.
I might be one of those. I think I might be a person.
You're quasi safe. I feel like there's some things. Yeah, you're safe enough. Like, the people that I know, there's two people that I can think of. One is my mom. The other one is my friend Lindsay. I don't even open her text messages in mixed company because it might be a dick pic. Like, I will never open her
can
messages.
We get her
anywhere.
On the pod.
Of course.
Yes. She would 1,000% do it.
We're mega fans of your bestie. I adore her. I want her to be my bestie. Yeah. We're mega fans. Yeah.
Man, yeah. Lindsay has stories. We could do a separate segment of just tell us who you dated and why it went south this time. Like,
but this is what I've been talking about when we talk about we're building a community. These are the folks in our community. I am dying to hear all of our community's micro revenge moments. And we do it because let's say you're in a partnership, those minor moments where you just take those dark stabs, little mini micro dark stabs at somebody, death by 1,000 cuts. You're married, Mike. You know what I'm talking about. It's a thing. It's a thing that people
like, don't bring that supposed to mean, first of all.
He's like, don't bring my marriage into this. I still live here.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry. Sorry.
He's like, I have to lay next to her tonight. What is wrong with you?
Just
I gotta be able to trust her. Like,
right. Which also, I will say, very brave of you, because that's one of my little mini hangups of getting married, is there's so many documentaries on Netflix about how it was the spouse that killed them.
Yeah, I told Lucy one time that she could never go missing.
Yeah. Oh my God. And as a white woman, are you kidding?
Yeah, I even told my mother-in-law. I told my mother-in-law, I was like, you know that she can never go missing because you guys will immediately turn on me. My mother-in-law denies it, but I don't believe her.
They will.
I think 100%. She would definitely sell me out.
Mm-hmm.
Love you, Bonnie.
80%. Shout out to Bonnie.
Right. She actually listens, too. Nobody else listens.
Hi, Bonnie.
Bonnie, nobody listens to my projects. Bonnie actually listens.
Shout out to Bonnie. You a real one.
Yeah. We love that support. Let's get Bonnie on the podcast. I want to hear more about how she's going to throw shade at you when her daughter goes.
We don't need to have her on a pod. We're good.
Is she one of those that you can't leave on speakerphone?
Ooh.
Oh, you could leave her on speakerphone.
Okay. Okay.
She's good. Okay. She's good with the speakerphone. But there's no reason to have her on the pod.
Mike doesn't want us to find out he has webbed feet. I'm just saying.
Talking about my feet, though.
What other secrets do you have, Mike? Are the secrets in the webs? What are you hiding?
Stop.
Is the other bitch in the webs of your toes? What is it? Who is she?
Y'all better not have some webbed toes. Ever. And I better not catch them out here in the wild. Because you will catch a stray.
You sounding real defensive for someone who's claiming they don't have webbed toes. Why are you standing for the webbed toe community?
You and I are from the same stock. You know we like to take revenge. We petty as fuck.
You're right. My bad.
We got a whole project around this revenge and pettiness. I am here for all of it. I can't wait to see your toes. It makes me want to promise that we'll send a picture of your toes out to the socials for our people.
That picture will never get sent. I promise you that.
We're going to have, what's the thing? We're going to create a Patreon just of Mike picking up things with his toes as our source of income.
Nobody wants to see that.
You think that, and yet
I'm gonna edit. All of this out. It's gonna be the shortest podcast ever next week. I promise.
Boo. We hate her.
I like that. Wow. Victoria and I we were like, we're gonna get really real on the podcast, and then we just make Mike do it. Right? Get real, Mike. Tell us all of your feet things.
Right. Oh, look, my gosh.
Not everybody likes feet. If you don't like feet, then you think no one likes feet. But I just want you to know there are people out there who like feet. I'm sure, Victoria, you've probably encountered dates that are very into your feet. I've encountered dates that are into my feet. And it's kind of like it's not weird. It's charming. It's like, oh that's like, okay. Help yourself.
I'd actually like to pull over right there on that comment.
Now you want to pull over. This is the moment you chose to stop the car and go, wait a minute. Carry on.
I did not find it charming. I had two back-to-back that were big in the feet. I think I shared about the first one, the guy that I went to Disneyland with. But when we were talking, he was... Before we actually met each other in person, he was playing with himself. And so that was the one. And then he asked me for a nude and I said no, because people don't get that from me. No, so I said no to that. And then he requested as an alt a picture of my foot. So I did send that. And it was the most unpractical, just me just flopping a foot. So I did send him that one. And he did say that did the trick. The other one... I know. The other one I met from an app, and turns out we went to the same gym for a while. So that was another weird cross-pollination. But I thought we were about to be just friends, because every time we hung out, nothing was happening. Like, we weren't even kissing. It was just hugging goodbye. And I was like, I think I've got a homie. And towards the end of, I think, the third or fourth time we hung out, he texted me and was like, hey, I made it home because we're at my place. And I was like, okay, great. And then he said, cute toes, by the way. And I just went, I didn't know you clocked that. And he said, I'm very, what do you say? Something like, oh my gosh, it wasn't discreet. I'm very patient. It was something to that extent. If I remember the word later, I'll yell it out of context.
Of course. Can't wait for the crazy. Can't wait.
He did say that. Oh, he said, I'm very well behaved. That's what he said. I'm very well behaved.
And weird.
I went, oh, okay, got it. And so then later on, I think we had like one more date after that, and he did request that I wear socks, because when we hooked up, he wanted to be able to take the socks off because it felt like he was unwrapping a present. And then
he was like sucking on my toes, and I kind of just laid there. Like, you know how like when you stereotypically think of a guy when you're getting like your dick sucked and you're just kind of like laying back with your hands behind.
Are you talking to me?
You know, I imagine this is what you all do. And you're just laying back, hands behind head, enjoying it. I was just laying there, but I didn't know what to do because it didn't feel like anything because feet don't do anything for me. And he looked up because I think he saw my face going like, anyways, is doing anything for you? And I went, not really. I don't know what you want me to say. And then it was weird because then he tried to kiss me, but I was like, I don't want my feet in my mouth.
Your feet? Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah. I think it was
not the
was tough.
Feet part. Not the feet to the mouth. There's a lot you can do to the mouth, like from to, like, you know, lots of parts. There's like go from this to the mouth. Like, yeah, I'm going to be with you on that. Not my feet.
Thank you. It feels like kissing or like sucking on my toes, then kissing my mouth is like wiping back to front. It just feels wrong.
You heard it here.
What
first.
What dating app are you on? You need to delete it right now.
That was actually a Hinge. So maybe I need to go to Bumble.
I'm going to tell you
right now.
Hinge
is feeling very tender lately.
Hinge probably needs to be called Unhinged.
It does.
Like,
I have only met unhinged men on Hinge. I have only met, it's the only place I ever got catfished was on Hinge. I had a guy who was like so into me and just calling and texting, not to the love bombing degree, but definitely was like, God, I like you so much and blah, blah, blah. Very lovely. And I'm like, oh, this might be a thing. And then he asked me for money. Oh, and that was on Hinge, and I blame Hinge for that. I think Hinge sets up that what's the word? Hinge sets up that permission to be so audacious to ask somebody that you don't even really know that well for money. Yeah, I was like, that's a scam. That's total BS.
That's
I do not even fuck with Hinge. I don't even fuck with Hinge.
Hinge needs somewhere of a happy medium of what they're currently doing because yikes. And the level that Raya kind of does of you have to wait so long. But the problem with Raya is I think that platform has turned into just hot people and influencers and famous people who just want to be ogled. No one's actually trying to date on there. It's all just, yeah, it's all just like hot men posing and modeling in their latest ads. And then you try and message them because they'll match with you. And you'll say, hey, and then nothing. Like the amount of times that they don't even put a bio. So I know I'm like, you're not serious about dating. You right. just want someone to tell you that you're hot. So a lot of the times when I would match with a guy that had no bio on Raya, I would always lead the conversation with, sure wish I could find some commonality in a message to you, but you don't have a bio.
Oh, do you?
Which comes off pretty hostile, which is probably why they didn't message me back.
Victoria's like, I don't know why I'm striking out on Raya. I hate them all.
I'm aggressive to everybody that matches with me. Why isn't this working?
Completely soulless, uninteresting hacks that just want me to ogle their body. And I call them out on it and they won't respond. It doesn't make any sense.
I don't
why
get
am
it.
I single?
I thought men love being degraded. I don't get it.
Certain men do. You're on the wrong app for that.
I need to go in Fields for that. Is it Field?
Oh, is that what it's called?
Yeah, I think Field, F-E-E-L-D, is the one where it's kind of like, bruh, everybody welcome. All your things.
Come on in. Talk about it openly. I will say when I'm on a Bumble or any, you know, Match.com, whatnot, any of those dating apps, when somebody very openly puts in their kink on their bio, it's a little too much. It would be like if somebody put a foot pic in their bio. You're like, nobody, that's too soon. Like, let me get to know you a little, like leave a little to the imagination, you know?
Ooh, actually, I have an amazing example of this.
Love this.
So,
love it. Share, show, share.
A person that I'm currently, I don't even know what to call it, so I'm just going to say chatting with, told me about somebody that his friend got a profile of. And he sent the screenshot of it to me. One of his gal friends received this message from the earth, saw this guy's profile because he matched with him, or I think tried to match with her or whatever. And he goes, "What do you think of this guy?" I won't say the guy's name. Even actually, it's just his first name. It doesn't matter. The guy's name
spill
is
it.
This guy's spill name is Aaron. His
of course.
Okay. His bio says, "I have more years behind me than in front of me. We can be friends. I'm here for a good time, not for a long time. I'll give you some of this gentle aggression. Tattooed, bearded. Are you feminine enough to receive my passion? Panties are the cheeks' kryptonite, especially in a sundress. I do wear a penis topper to give you added girth and length. How is your passion for intimacy? I don't need Viagra yet. I'll knock the Mario coins out of your box, girl. LOL." That's what's out there.
What the fuck is that?
I feel assaulted.
I'll knock the Mario coins out of you. What? Why do you have to dirty Mario like that?
Not Mario.
What app is this?
This was, I think this was Hinge, but then here's the nerve. He's on there matching once. He's looking for friends.
He just wants friends. He's not trying to, but he wants to knock the Mario coins out of your box.
He does. He does.
That's, I, you know what I want to say to that? Like, bon voyage, ma'am, to the woman or the man that swipes right on that. Just sail on. You brave, yeah. Brave soldier.
I respect is, the boldness of it all. Like, listen, he's just not going to play around. Want. Yeah, no. He's just going to tell you exactly what he wants. And I respect that. It's weird, but I respect it.
You at least know exactly what you're getting all around on our man Aaron here.
Can we give a nod, a full-blown nod, to the crafting of the bio? I mean, from a writing perspective, hats off, sir. The metaphors, yeah. The imagery, I understand completely. He's clear. There are facts involved, but some play in the words. I'm uncomfortable about it, which means it evoked a feeling, which means that's evocative writing. I just want to give a nod to that. I just
A feeling was felt.
Just one. And I don't have a lot of them, but one of them was felt. Yeah.
No, he did also make sure to continuously ask how you're feeling about his level of passion. He's really doubling down on making sure that you're cool with everything he's putting out there.
As we know, consent is sexy.
It is.
I'm uncomfortable with his bio, but I guess I just don't have to read it. Although I did have to listen to that, and I think we should probably share it. 100%.
Yeah, I'll crop his face out and send it so we can just have just the
Or do we try to find him? do we find Aaron, him in the podcast and find him a friend?
Oh my gosh, Aaron, we're going to help you out, my dude. You're going to be so happy that you came on the pod and found a friend to knock the Mario coins out of.
Some girl's gonna be into that. Some girl. And I want to know the girl who's like yes to that. I also want to send her on her way with or him. I mean, who knows? Sounds like Aaron would be open-minded.
He is. Also, he does have kids, it says in his profile. So I guess when the kids are away, he's knocking the Mario coins.
I don't want to know both topper. Of them. No, I can know about the kids or I can know about the sex life. I don't want Mario coins and the elementary school. Like, nope, that's too much.
And penis topper. Also, that was my first understanding that that was even a thing. I didn't know that penis toppers were a thing. I tried to Google it and all I saw was bachelorette party stuff of penis straws and penis hats. I still can't find a penis topper, but I imagine it's like an extra little
Do you think that's the official device? Term? Yeah, must be.
Producer Mike, weigh in.
I plead the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5th.
Mike's like, I don't want that in my search history.
He's like, you leave me out of this, you evil wenches.
Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I 100% was going to soft pitch a return to the apps, because here's the thing. We have three very delightfully separate situations going on here. Mike is happily married to a glorious woman that I just can't seem to talk her into leaving him for. Such a sad story. Love her so.
It's not sad for me.
So Mike is happily married. I'm happily divorced. Yeah, I'm happily divorced and have dated. Dated before marriage, dated post-marriage. So I have this like kind of different life experience. And then Victoria has never been married, out in that sweet, sweet, sexy single life. You know, I mean, we're both single. However, you've got that beautiful, raw, just...
I'm unfettered from the aisle.
Right. Unfettered from the aisle. Loving it. Yes.
Don't know where that came from.
We have really unique perspectives. And I almost said, perhaps it's time to return to the apps. And we all know the apps are an ego game. Like you said, on Raya, when you're swiping, it's like, who swipes at me? Who thinks I'm hot? You know? Mm-hmm. However, I truly do want to return to the dating. I have exited the situationship. It took far too long. Gosh, if you are all in a situationship, just start the exit process now, because it's not going anywhere.
No, literally never opt into those.
Yeah, it's so hard. And I think that it takes some of us by surprise. Speaking from a place of just leaving one myself, it really is a shocking moment when you're like, oh no, this is not real.
Now, I will say a situationship can only, well, no, I was going to say a situationship can be okay, but then I realized I'm really more so thinking of the context of a fuck buddy. That's the only context where that actually works. Mm-hmm. But a situationship means that there are feelings involved and no one will touch down on what's happening, and that's not healthy. So actually, I'm correct in the first thought, opt out.
Yeah. And you know when it's happening. I think that people know when they're in a relationship, because a situationship is a relationship. It's just not the right one. It's not a comfortable one. It's not a great one. But when you're in a situationship, you know that it's not real. You know it's not going anywhere. You know that it is dead end street. And I think just start trying to find the trail, the turnaround, the 20-point Y turn that you have to make to drive out of it, because it's hard and it never works to just full cut off. However, all that, we went down a little rabbit hole. All that to say, I was considering hopping back on those apps, getting back out into the dating, wiping away some of the bitterness of like, oh, this is how it always goes. And instead leaning in and embracing and saying, let's try again. Don't give up. And then you read about knocking Aaron. The Mario coins out of Princess Peach's box. And I'm
not
so
Aaron.
I'm so uncomfortable.
I would say, one, to circle back on the situationship of it all. Yes, cutting things off, and I won't go into the deep depths for you, but I will say, admittedly, it probably didn't help you at all. My thought process is always like, give tough love. So like the way that I was so aggressive with Jess about this, I was like, stop it.
Listen,
cut it out.
Men and women alike, all gays, LGBTQ+, all genders. If you don't have a friend who will shake you to your core, piss you off, and be 100% right about the garbage that you're dating, and it's not just men, because women are garbage too. Mm-hmm. You gotta have a Victoria. You gotta have someone who you're a little bit afraid to tell the truth to because you know that they're going to come back doubling down on that truth hard and say, get out of this. This is a nightmare. I know there's better for you. And not in a loving way, but in a, are you a fucking idiot? Sometimes honestly, people need that.
Honestly, each one teach one. I bestow that gift to you because Zelma does it for me. Anytime I tell Zelma something, if I'm like, he hurt me and blah, blah, and I was so upset and I shared all this with him. And she looked me dead in my eye and went, who told you to share that with him? And I was like,
Zelma's oh my not God. Wrong.
I was like, oh my God. And damn it, Mike.
Damn it, Mike. Mike is one of the, Mike is a you and a Zelma. Mike is a Zelma. Mike will be like, what, why are you wasting your time? Mike will come to me and be like, what are you doing on those streets past 8 p.m., girl? Go home. Your nothing king good. Is not out here. Nothing
not doing
good.
Nothing good.
Yeah. So
take
I think
your little fast ass home. That's
that's right. There's something so great about a fast ass. That's so Southern. I love it.
Thanks. And thanks for calling mine fast. It's not as great as having a fast snatch, see previous podcast episode for reference, but feels pretty good to have a fast ass, and I do. That's
great callback.
Thank you. Yeah, loving it. Look, you need to have producer Mike. You need to have a Zelma. You need to have a Victoria. My particular, what the hell is wrong with you, that came to me straight down, like shook me to my core, voice of heaven and hell, Charlene, she knows who she is. These are the people that keep you straight. When you start to veer off that trail, when you start to go down that dead end road with the wrong person. And by the way, it doesn't just have to be in romantic relationships. Sometimes you end up on a dead end road with the wrong person at work relationship, in life, friends. With just like a new friend. Yeah. That you meet and say, wait, how has this gone so south and wrong? And I think we're offering something here because I have lived long enough and had enough of those relationships where I'm like, it really, guys, I'm on this side of it over here, age-wise. Don't bother. Trust the guts. It's not you. Because you know why you stay in it. You know why you stay in it. You stay in something that's dead end because you think, maybe I'm too bitter. Maybe I'm not giving them enough of a chance. What do I have to offer that's so great? You know?
That. I've had that so many times. I think that's why I let some people that in my first thought, I'm like, I don't want this person in my life. But then I go through that same thing. Am I being too harsh too quickly? Am I judging too fast? Am I not giving them a fair chance? So I almost give people too much of a chance to let me down multiple times so I can be like, aha. Okay, I gave you many, many times to give yourself your own rope and hang yourself with before I finally eject them out. But you knew from jump that you didn't like that person. Listen to it. I used to have such a good gut about this when I was six. Oh. I forget. I don't know if I told this story the pod, but essentially, I'll make it fast. I went to like a school that was like kindergarten through eighth grade, and those all fed into basically like two or three Catholic high school options. And then, so there was a girl that I was friends with from kindergarten through eighth grade. We didn't go to the same high school. And then we found out that we were going to the same college together because we reconnected. And she said, do you want to room together at this college? Because we went to Berry College, very small college. And okay. I was like, oh, okay, sure. And my mom looked me dead in my eye and went, are you sure about that? And I went, what do you mean? She goes, you did not like her when you were six. And I went, what are you talking about? And she looked back through. She used to keep a book of where I would answer questions after each school year. And it said, what's your favorite thing about first grade? And it was like, Miss Whitaker. And what's your least favorite thing about first grade? And I wrote this girl's name in first grade that I didn't like her. And my mom went, at six, you knew you didn't like her. Are you sure you want to room with her? And I was like, oh my God, I was six. It's fine. We lived together for a handful of months before I told her to go to hell. She was crying and moved out. But it did work out because I got a room made for three people to myself the rest of the year.
Oh, Nice.
I pushed the beds together. I had a king bed. It was kind of amazing. I should tell more people to go to hell.
Yeah, you should. Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful sentiment. I have to say, a little bit of pain, those couple of months of pain for a whole rest of the year, room to yourself in college, come on.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, you can't
lose. Trust your gut.
That's the thing. Our six-year-old selves do know. And by the way, our six-year-old selves still live inside of us. Those are the voices who are like, stay away from the bad girl. Stay away from the bad man.
Definitely.
We know. It's also the same voice that says, don't go out tonight. And then you're like, no, I made a promise. I have to. And you get all gussied up and you go out and it's terrible. You know?
Yeah. You have to trust however you feel about doing a thing. If you don't, if it feels like effort and work and it's not fun, that's yourself telling you you don't actually want to do it. You're just doing it out of obligation, which don't do things out of obligation unless it's, I don't know, work to pay a bill. Because I'm going to tell you, bills don't care how you feel, but everything else.
Dog. They definitely don't.
I'll say this, though. Everything good and right in my life had a sense of ease to it. Mm-hmm. Even though I'm divorced now, when I met my ex-husband and fell in love, it was so easy. It was all easy. It was breathing. That's how easy it was. And I don't know, Mike, if you can speak to that, meeting Lucy, falling in love. There's an ease to the right things in life. A lack of anxiety. What do you think?
When she stopped denying that she that her and I would be good together. Yeah, when she got over herself, we were good.
Lucy!
And we just tapped into a very raw moment.
I'm just saying, and then she tried it again. We were engaged and we were about a year and a half to 2 years in and we broke up. And I knew what I wanted, which is why I proposed, and she didn't know what she wanted. And so she used it as a reason for us to break up for 6 months. And I tell people she fell and hit her head.
This is what I'm talking about. Micro moments of revenge. That's what you carry all the time to remind Lucy. That's a marriage moment of revenge.
I tell people all the time. I'm like, yeah, she fell and hit her head for 6 months. She didn't know what she wanted. She was concussed.
I love that.
But for you, so for her, obviously, I don't know, her level of ease once she finally stopped fighting it, it might have been different. For you, when you knew, then it was just like, ma'am.
Oh, yeah, I was all the way in. I'm the one that told her. I was like, we have a connection. I don't know why you're you're denying that you and I have a connection. Like the fact that we were still talking to each other, even after we broke up, I knew we had a connection. So she didn't see it. I saw it. And so I just let it run its course. I was like, okay, cool. If you don't want to be here, cool. I'm going to go back to broadcasting school, which is what I did. So I didn't sit into it for too long. I let her go do her thing. She came back. She suddenly, her brain was right. And she came on back. We were good.
You kept shining and she came back.
That brain had to heal after that traumatic fall.
I bettered myself and she went off and did whatever she was doing for 6 months. Mm-hmm. I bettered myself. I went to school.
Ooh. Damn straight you did. Like Victoria. It ended up being a little bit of pain for a minute and then a totally giant king-size bed college dorm room to yourself.
For sure. Wait, okay. I want to land the dating plane really fast. Are you going to get back? Speaking of, I don't know, going through tough things and then getting on the other side of it. Are you going to get back on the apps? And if so, which ones? This is your assignment and mine. I'm already on Hinge. I'm constantly getting things saying, so-and-so liked you. And I'm like, cool story.
Great. Obviously. Anything
you're just looking at it, huh? You're not even going to interact. You're like, whatever. I'm just here for the vibe. That's it.
I will start doing it. I think I just took a little break and forgot to deactivate it, but I will hop back on and respond to said bounty. But usually the people that I've seen that say they like me on the app hurt my feelings. So I don't like to... Like, I'm going to just say it. There's some people where I'm like, you look like you would string me to a tree. Why? Why do you like me? Like, it's the most like banjo looking motherfuckers. I'm like, why?
Yeah, look, and there was a time when banjo looking was sort of interesting. Hipsters can speak loudly to that with their suspenders and their bow ties.
No, these look like Deliverance.
No shirt like, on their overalls.
Wow.
Yeah, like they genuinely look like they fight for freedom. Like that's who I'm getting, and I don't understand how.
I mean, Farmer Needs a Wife, that is a show, so.
It's a show?
Oh, yeah, on Fox. It's a reality show called Farmer Needs a Wife.
Why has this not come across my desk? I have to watch it.
How have you guys missed it?
I'm watching that this evening.
I'll be tuning in. Tuning in. Yeah, you heard it here first, guys. Hot, hot. Look, to answer your question.
Yes.
I will if you will.
Okay. Opening up Hinge now. Say less.
Okay, I'll get on Hinge. I have not dabbled back in Hinge because of the, you know, I was angry at them. Fair. I was like, Hinge, you've set me up way too many times for failure. I don't appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And then I believe that we'll have a heck of a time sharing our smiling faces moments next week on the podcast. We will come back with our smiling faces moment. And if you don't know what that is a moment where you grin and bear it through something just awful and painful. And I ask you to this week, what is your smiling faces moment for the week?
Okay, I'll kick this one off. My smiling faces moment is I woke up really early, I would say about like 3 a.m., 4 a.m. or so with horrible pain in my stomach. And for some reason, my first thought was, you're constipated. So I went and took like an intense laxative. And then I found out only a short bit later that it wasn't that I was constipated. I literally just started my period. And I don't understand why my body didn't know the difference. So I had a really tough morning for no reason.
Why didn't you know the difference is the better question.
That's what's embarrassing.
As soon as you just said it, I was like, oh, did you get your period? Why do I know before you do?
Because you're like, a good man.
I'm almost 40. There's no reason why I don't know the difference between constipation and period.
Not at all. That's correct. Not at all.
Like maybe, so it made me think, I was like, if I've been too hard on the Supreme Court, like maybe I shouldn't be in charge of my body after all.
you've had a period once or twice. I'm pretty sure you should know what it, no, just me. Okay. It's cool.
No, you're so self-doubting your anger towards the Supreme Court.
So I grinned and bared it through taking laxatives unnecessarily.
Well, congratulations on this week's cleanse.
Thank you.
I cannot think it. I can't. I got nothing to top that. Do you mind? I got nothing. I can't top that.
I was going to talk about my quads hurting from going to Disneyland, but I can't even touch that shit. Like, what are you
literally
doing?
Sometimes I put things in my mouth and then say, why did I do that? Never to the degree that you did this week. Never to that degree.
I was the worst for it. I had a horrible morning.
Wow. That is, look, I can't, that's it. You win. And if you want to know more about whether constipation is a period, you can follow us on social media and we will be here to guide you. If you're looking for us, you can find us on Instagram at @smilingfaces_series. You can find us on TikTok. Welcome back at @smilingfaces_series. We're on Facebook at @smilingfaces_series, no underscore. We're also on YouTube. We are at www.youtube.com/@@smilingfaces_series.
We also have an official website. It's smilingfacesseries.com. Shout out to our fiscal sponsor, Inclusivity Media. And of course, our producer, Defiantly Me Productions, and Mike Bryant.
proclaiming long before the end of your story that you were on your period before you realized it was such the case.
The math ain't math in Victoria. That is...
In a quasi-defense, it started 8 days early.
Whoa, you are feral.
Are you not tracking it?
I am. But that's why I didn't even think to look. I was like, I'm obviously constipated.
I get a notification on my phone whenever Lucy's even in that period. Ooh. No pun intended. But
what, like, does it say? Run and hide?
I wish. Mike, it probably should.
You, I love that. You are the bar, Mike. You are the bar.
Yeah.
Never
are.
Shall I try to marry again until I reach the king level you rock at.
There it is. Thank you all for listening.